Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, happy Easter, friends.
Happy Easter.
And happy April Fool's Day. Any fools here this morning? Thank you for being honest. God bless you. Easter falls between March 22nd and April 25th each year. It falls on the first Sunday. Now, you got to listen to this because I can't figure it out, but I got to read it too. It falls on the first Sunday after the spring equinox, after the full moon. So those two things have to happen first. So spring started when? The 20th, last Tuesday or a week ago Tuesday, right? And then just last night was the full moon. Easter. I just go online and look it up to find out when it's happening. That's what I do. Therefore, Easter is today, and it happens to fall on April 1st, April Fool's Day. Now, what are the chances of that happening? One in a million. Not quite, but pretty rare. Extremely, extremely rare. Surprisingly rare. The last time Christians celebrated Easter, April 1st, was in 1956. Before I was born, I'm proud to say. But that's another story. Just before. But anyway. And we will celebrate Easter three times in this century. And really pretty quickly. The next time we'll celebrate Easter on April Fool's Day is going to be in 2029. Relatively quick. And then again in 2040. I know we'll all look forward to that. Start your planning now. But then it will not be observed on April 1st for another 68 years. So if you're planning, that's 2,108. And then not for another 62 years, 2,170. It's a rare event to have Easter on April Fool's Day. We call it a holiday, although there is nowhere in the world that April Fool's Day is officially observed. Most likely because it began as a rebellion in France when it was decided that the Gregorian calendar should be adopted. Prior to that, you see, France had their New Year's Day celebrated on March 25th. And they celebrated for an entire week, culminating in great banquets and parties and festivals on April 1st. So when they went to the Gregorian calendar, the French rebelled, or at least some of them did. And so they rebelled, and they decided, no, we're going to party on April 1st. Hard to keep a good Frenchman's party down, I guess. I don't know. But they would send out invitations to parties that weren't happening. They would send silly gifts to people, all on April 1st. And they would maintain some of their revelry in terms of having parties and meals and good times on April 1st. Now, that's the most probable explanation for April Fool's Day, but there's actually a religious explanation connecting April Fool's Day with Jesus in the last days of his life on earth. It was thought that Jesus' opponents intended to make a fool out of him, sending him on a meaningless round of visits to Roman officials when Jesus' fate had already been sealed. Medieval mysteries plays frequently dramatized those events, tracing Christ's journey to Annas and then to Caiaphas and then to Pilate and then to Herod and then back to Pilate. They show it pretty well in a film from the 70s, which there's a live play of tonight, Jesus Christ Superstar, 8 o'clock, NBC, Central Time. Anyway, or Eastern Time, I guess it is. But if you watch that, they may trace that very well. It's traced in the original play very well. Bounces back and forth with a couple dance scenes. It's a fun romp. Anyway, I don't work for NBC. I just pretend to, apparently. But whatever April Fool's pranks you've already done or plan to do today, I do want us to focus on the fact that today is unarguably the highest holy day of our Christian calendar. As holy days goes, it doesn't get holier than this. And so I In preparation, it seemed like last fall, I read an article by Pastor Bob Kaler. He's the senior minister at Park City United Methodist Church in Park City, Utah. And I was inspired to take up this challenge to talk about April Fool's Day on Easter. So I asked the question, who, after all, is the April Fool? There's a bunch of people from our scriptures that come to mind. Is the April Fool Pontius Pilate, the Roman curator? He was the one who cowered in the face of religious leaders who said that failing to deal harshly with a treacherous villain like Jesus would not be viewed favorably by Rome. They were trying to blackmail him, say, if you don't deal harshly with this guy, we know people in high places. And he's the one, as you remember, who washed his hands of the whole thing. He permitted the execution, and not only permitted it, but allowed it to happen in the name of the emperor. But now, Jesus is risen. No kidding. April Fool's, Pontius Pilate. Is the April Fool's Annas, the high priest, along with his son-in-law, Caiaphas? Annas is the dark and malevolent figure in the Holy Week drama, something like Grand Moff Tarkin or Emperor Palpatine of Star Wars fame. Think that when you think of Annas. He's had enough. He's corrupted witnesses, falsified evidence, placed a mole inside of Jesus' inner circle, tracked the movements of this radical insurgent, and then bided his time. And with Passover approaching, Annas had to make sure that Jesus is dead and buried, and quickly he pulled strings. He played Pontius Pilate like a first chair fiddler, and he got what he wanted. But now, Annas, it's Easter morning, and Jesus is risen. No kidding. April Fool's, Annas. Perhaps the April Fool's are the guards at the tomb. You have to feel for these guys, right? They were simply cogs in the Roman industrial military complex. They got guard duty in a cemetery. They must have been caught drinking something or playing dice, or perhaps they inadvertently allowed a prisoner to escape their custody. So now, as a humiliating punishment, they've been sent to the tombs to guard dead people. It's a joke, by the way. I suppose they were good, decent fellows, ordinary, common people. But I'll bet the teasing by their fellow guards was brutal. We all know what happened in the end, right? They ran away. Created a story, made up a story for the tomb being active, because apparently dead people do need to be guarded. Now it's Easter morning. Jesus is risen. No kidding. April Fool's, guards. Perhaps the April Fool is Peter, the big fisherman, as he was sometimes called. Oh, Peter started out enthusiastically, no doubt. He defended his rabbi right and left. He was the one who identified Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. Remember, Jesus called him the rock upon which he would build his church. He swore never to abandon his Lord, and he even drew a sword against a Roman soldier. Thank God his swing was errant, and he only took off his ear instead of his head. The person who said he would never, never leave Jesus left. What a fool. And now, Peter, it's Easter morning and Jesus is risen. No kidding. No kidding. April Fools. Perhaps the greatest fools are not those found in the Bible. Perhaps the greatest April Fools are all of us. Certainly, much of the world believes we're crazy, complete fools who need Jesus and religion as some type of crutch in which to get through day by day. Right? I mean, this religious stuff, we take it a little bit too far in the church, don't we? It's likely that a fair percentage of the general population who, although identify themselves as religious, think that we commit followers to Jesus, take things too seriously. We who love Jesus, who follow his teachings, who obey his word, are regarded by much of the world as fools. But perhaps there's another sense in which we're the Easter fools. We're fools when we claim to believe, but we behave as though we don't believe. We affirm a belief in the resurrection of Christ. We declare that he is risen, but we live our lives as if Jesus were still in the tomb, cold and decaying. We affirm our belief with our lips, but do not confess Jesus as Lord with our lives. So why bother? It's too hard. We are indeed fools not to take all of this seriously. But friends, it's Easter morning. No kidding. He is risen. April Fools. So having considered those biblical possibilities among others, and I'm not sure any of us are the biggest April Fools. The biggest April Fool is not Pontius Pilate, not Annas, not the high priest, not Peter, or any of us. It seems to me that the greatest April Fool is Jesus Christ himself. He is the fool of Easter. He is the trickster, as if it were. He is the one who called the devil's bluff in the greatest tease of all time. Consider this. Even during his ministry, he acted in foolish ways according to the most contemporary observers. He shunned a comfortable lifestyle. For friends, he had tax collectors, prostitutes, lepers, fishermen, the poor and needy. Not a CEO in his inner circle. He dismissed the wealth of others and instead told the rich to give away their wealth and follow him. Jesus knew that there is power in being a somebody, but there is truth in being a nobody. He opted for the truth because he knew that power emerges from that truth. He chose weakness instead of strength, vulnerability instead of aggressiveness, truth instead of practicality, and honesty instead of influence. He stuck his finger in the chest of the religious leaders of his day, and he baited them, even though they were the ones who had the power to kill him. And then they were all too glad to oblige, but death, not even death, could hold him. The grave could not contain him. On Easter's Fool's Day, God made foolish the wisdom of the world. Jesus was God's fool, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to the Greeks, whereby God reconciled the world to himself. Did you hear that? All of us were reconciled by Jesus, who became a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks. He confounds the wisdom of the day and gives to us eternal truth. Today, Jesus is alive, he who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. And it was Jesus who emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Pretty foolish, it would seem. But that's not the end of the story. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. On this Easter Fool Sunday, perhaps this is what we have an opportunity to do. As fools for Christ, as God's fools, we might consider in humble reverence reaffirming our allegiance to the one who pulled off the greatest jest in history. Perhaps we might reaffirm our belief that Jesus is Lord. Throughout this past Lent, the 6 weeks coming up to this time, we've been playing with the idea of what it means to enter into the dark wood, hence the trees painted in the back, the trees up front. We've been in the dark wood recognizing that it is at those difficult times of our lives where God finds us and we find God, and our faith deepens and is strengthened. So we've looked at what it means to be empty, what it means to get lost, what it means to be alone. And then last week we talked about one that I was really surprised which gift people would like the best, but last week people really liked being misfits. Last week we said we are all misfits. Well, it seems that if we're misfits, then it's okay to be a fool as well. It's okay to be a fool for Jesus' sake, to discover the great and seemingly foolish things that we can do for God's kingdom on earth, to bear witness to a God who loves us to the depth of dying on a cross, that which seems so foolish but means the world to so many. Can you stand a corny conclusion to this message on foolishness? I pity the fool who isn't a fool for Jesus. Hey, Jesus is risen. No kidding. He is risen indeed. That's the word of God for the people of God at Central Church. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, the Sustainer, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.